The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end?
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. And we're doing this show live from Henry Ford Community College from the WHFR studios in the Student Center and Culinary Arts Building. Everything's closed here today, by the way, because, well, we're saving money. We pushed the spring and summer semesters into just 4 days a week. And the people that work here 40 hours a week, they have to be here 10 hours a day.
Wow.
I think that includes a lunch break, but it's from 8:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night, and just so you know, if you're trying to enroll in the new semester or come even here on campus to study, if you're a spring or summer student spring student, which spring is now 1 week in, only 6.5 more weeks to go. Wow, they go fast. But you just can't get in any place on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Another reason is, too, is that there's a lot of construction and maintenance that needs to be done, and that's what's scheduled on Fridays especially, or if they want to pay overtime, I guess, on Saturday or Sunday. So it's a chance for the campus to sort of get itself back together, waiting for the fall enrollment, which fills every building, every class, and all the parking lots. And so it's a time to actually do a little clean up and fix up that can't be done in the regular semester. My name is Jay Koronick, and joining me here in the studio is our WHFR News Director, Kevin Bruff. Welcome, Kevin.
All right. Welcome.
Okay. You're on mic number 3.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is have them say welcome, even though I've already said hello to them in the studio, but we're trying to see if their microphone's on, because nothing worse than doing a news show and giving a lot of great information out and nobody can hear you.
Oh, that's good with that.
Yeah, what a bummer, huh? Okay, let's take a look, starting, because what we do is look at, if you haven't listened to the journal before, it's local news and alternative views, sort of the background, the in-depth, the between-the-lines things that if you're really doing critical thinking as you're reading these stories or hearing the stories, maybe we can help you with that. And, of course, the opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of anyone else here at Henry Ford Community College. We make them up ourselves, and we try to be somewhat fair and balanced, but not like Fox News, because, well, they really aren't, and I don't mean the TV station in town, although they do too much crime news, but I'm saying the TV news channel, the cable TV channel, they have just crazy opinions all the time. And I mean, some people have, they're even college professors, pardon the expression, I don't know where they dig these people up, anyway, Dearborn mayor lays out his budget strategy. That was in last Sunday's Press and Guide headline, almost headline, front page story from J. Patrick Pepper. Very good summary. Great job, Mr. Pepper, again, as the key sole full-time reporter for the Press and Guide in Dearborn, I believe, still. We have covered, of course, the story in a number of ways. First of all, back on April 24th, we had a full hour-long sit-down interview that we recorded. We broadcast and recorded here with Mayor John B. O'Reilly Jr. of Dearborn. And you should definitely, if you're worried about the budget or other issues in the city, this is just April 24th during our Radiothon Pledge Week. And you could go to our website, whfr.fm, click on Talk Shows. There's a Talk Show button in the middle of the front page. I'm looking at it right now, in fact, on our screen here. And then choose Tuesday Forum, because that's on Tuesday from 1 to 2. He couldn't make it on Friday on the Journal. So you go to Tuesday Forum and select April 24th, 2012. And he got very emotional about what he believes in for the city and what direction we should go. And he always gives a lot of details. And you may not agree with what he says, but I don't know any other place that you, a citizen of Dearborn, can hear him speak so extensively. Not even at a council meeting. He might make a sentence or two comment here or there, but he wouldn't do an hour.
Yeah, everything's segmented.
In depth, yeah. And I thought I asked some questions that represented, in fact, we only covered about, I think I had about 30 questions. We only were able to cover about 15 of them, but he told some stuff. He mentioned some information that I've never heard before in the paper, even. That's how in-depth you can get in an interview like this. And so J. Patrick Pepper's survey of the budget situation for 2013 is important to read, and it's a good survey. Also,
One other thing, yeah, and if you want to read it, it's up on thecityofdearborn.org.
Yes. Right.
Cityofdearborn.org.
Right. They have, in fact, it's several budget proposals all the way through 2015, but the one that they have to vote on now, I mean, he's sort of has a five-year plan for the city. I mean, and that's good. Every elected official should look at the future and sort of plan for revenues and expenses, and that way even the offices of each city of city government can plan their budgets too, because they kind of know how it's going to hold or be decreased or whatever for the future. That's so important. Even if it's not a lot of money, if you know it's going to be a stable amount, then he can work even harder. I know, because I was a department head here at Henry Ford Community College for 10 years, and we didn't get hardly any increase, but I was able to find ways to save money, get more creative in using the money that we had, and that's because I could count on the money that was going to be coming the next year or so.
And one other thing, too, from what I understand, they actually have a little bit more money this time around because of the budget the millages that were passed last year.
Well, they would definitely be in the proverbial hole, or should we call it an abyss, a budget abyss, if that hadn't passed. Now, the money is going to be used fully this year and for the next 5 years. But
yeah,
you remember,
2017, correct?
Right. It was a five-year budget plan, which is why the mayor is planning for 5 years, but he's introduced three budgets, 2013, which actually starts July 1st this year, 2014 and 2015 to the council. They will be voting yes or no in about a month or so on the 2013 budget.
It has
to start in June.
May 29th,
that's
Tuesday
quick.
At 6:30 p.m.
Yeah,
they're going to vote on it.
2 weeks from this coming Monday. Now, this coming Monday, special session just on the budget, and you should go. If you're a citizen of Dearborn, you're concerned about how the money's being spent or you have any questions, I don't know how much time they'll give you. I'm sure they don't want grandstanding, you know, speech making, but it's going to be at 6 p.m., Dearborn City Hall, Schaefer in Michigan, right there at the corner. Yes, they're still in the historic building of Dearborn City Hall. Nobody's moved yet. And starts at 6. I don't know how long it'll go. Maybe as long as they have questions.
Yeah.
And I hope, Kevin, that you can go by there as our in-person reporter to get the scoop behind the scenes.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be there and look forward to it.
Great. We're not paying him any money, by the way, folks. So, and you should go too if you got a chance to, because actually hearing the real people, the council members and the mayor, making their case For the current budget. Some people a little freaked out because I think it's $103 million that they want to spend this year, and they only spend $100 million. Okay, it's 100.3, so a little more than $100 million they want to spend. Or is it $103 million? Well, 3% probably increase in spending, but I think the mayor can easily explain that. First of all, they have a little more money available, and some of the projects they hope will give payback in the future, something like energy efficiency savings. If they invest now, this year, they'll actually have less, for example, an electrical bill for whatever they replace with higher energy units in the future. So it is wise, if you have a couple more bucks right now, to spend on those kinds of projects, the energy efficiency projects, because you'll get good payback relatively quickly from them. But you know, to me, 3% increase with inflation and other costs being what they are, I don't think it's a big deal. But you can ask about whatever you want to ask. I know some people are concerned about the salaries, the pay that is given to our council members and to the mayor. A few people online are raving that they all get six figures
and bonuses.
But there's a 10% increase in pay. By the way, folks, you know, this whole issue about the Civil Service Commission, guess who decides the pay? Yeah, not the council, not the mayor. The Civil Service Commission decides what's fair and equal to other comparable people in comparable cities, government officials. And so, but that whole thing about the Civil Service Commission, we've covered that too. That's in a big brouhaha right now. We've covered that on past journal shows and not going to comment now. But I would think you should see that it wasn't the council and the mayor that gave themselves pay increases, if they've got any, and I don't doubt it. But I'm just saying, I see these comments from people who are not necessarily in the know, and it seems to escalate. You know, you read somebody's tweet, somebody's blog comment, and another person jumps on it as if it's God's truth, and it gets worse and worse.
Oh, yeah.
It's like those jokes at a party. In the olden days, you used to sit around in a circle at a party. Yeah, I know, it's crazy, huh? And somebody would have a joke written down on a card. And you would whisper that joke to the next person in the circle.
Yeah.
They would have to try to repeat it exactly the same way.
Just off memory.
By memory, around to the next person and on around the circle. And even with only five or six people telling it, at the end, the last person tells it out loud. And boy, has it changed.
We actually
and,
did.
And they're not even usually funny. Or if they're funny, they're funny in a totally different way, which just goes to show, well, of course, memories are not perfect, even in a fraction of a second. But also, people hear things, they think things about them, they change things organically. And so unless you're getting it from the so-called horse's mouth, boy, we got all these metaphors today, all these cliches. If you're not getting it from the source, as a journalist would say, thank you, Kevin, then you may not be getting it at all. Now, even the sources can sort of shape the truth or not tell
or
the whole fact. Or lie. Oh, my God, they might lie. But of course, that's what journalists are for, and that's what intelligent people in the city are for, too. So highly recommend Monday's city budget hearing at Dearborn City Hall. Starts at 6 p.m. in the city council chambers. Okay, and we'll report on that next week, as I'm sure their papers will too, since their deadlines are Tuesday, so I'll bet they'll squeak things in there.
Yeah, and be sure to go on cityofdearborn.org to read all the budget information that's on there.
As I told the mayor on the 24th, April 24th, in our interview, congratulations. It's the first time I remember that those important proposals, and a summary, there was also like a spreadsheet of the numbers, which, unless you're an accountant or know what each category really is supposed to mean, you can't really tell what that money is all about from three or four words. Maybe you don't even know the jargon, you know, of an account book. But they also have a 3-4-page summary document for each of those budget proposals. And I also want to recommend, so you should, you know, download those or read those from cityofdearborn.org. Don't go to cityofdearborn.com. That's a porn site. Okay, now everybody will go there immediately, right? Oh, a porn! I wanted to see a new porn. Or at least it's one of those sites where it's not really the city of Dearborn. It's I know that DearbornSymphony.com is a porn site.
I've heard that a lot of porn sites are doing that. They're taking sites that are very similar to popular or even
so
that
they
city.
Get people to accidentally go there, and then of course they show them their stuff and hopefully get money from them and so on. But
that could be bad for kids.
One time I remember we actually gave the mistaken website address, DearbornSymphony.com, which is a mistake, over the air. And we immediately got a call from the symphony people saying it was a Bourne site. So it's .org, cityofdearborn.org, not just dearborn.org, but cityofdearborn.org. Also, dearbornpatch.com, dearborn.patch.com. That's the daily news service online. Jessica Carrera, the editor there, A-S, and she does a fine job. She has a story from the 9th, which was Wednesday. Dearborn Budget 2013, What You Need to Know. It's a good summary, okay? But I think the headline in that article, which I'm looking at right here, is no facilities will close in 2013. So in the next fiscal year, if you're worried about historical museum or pools or 19th District Court,
libraries,
the golf course, the Dearborn Ice Skating Center, Dearborn Fire Station, not this year. But, you know, there have been some closings already, so they're not opening back up. I mean, they closed two city pools, one library, and the entire health department last year, and those will not be opening up. And all small pools and the remaining two branch libraries, as well as the Dearborn Hills Golf Course, that's over on Telegraph there, Dearborn Ice Skating Center, and one Dearborn Fire Station. I'm not sure how many we have in the city. Four or five, maybe? I know we have the main one on Greenfield in Michigan. But
talking about the pool?
No, the fire station.
Oh, the fire station.
Yeah, one fire station. I hadn't heard this before. I hadn't read it before.
Sorry,
I guess.
I got sidetracked.
Yeah, would close by 2015 if no additional revenue was realized. So, and beyond that, who knows if we don't get more money or a stable funding source. The police and fire budgets are mostly untouchable because of things that have been voted by you, citizens of Dearborn, into the city charter. And so staff reduction cannot happen. And public safety positions, police and fire, that's 51% of the city's full-time staff and a major portion of the budget. Personnel costs, in fact, are around 90% of the cost of the city budget. Personnel cost, that includes probably health benefits and insurance. But just so you know, folks, you know, you say, well, it cuts some expenses. Well, unless you're going to fire some people and actually close full services, including the people that are part of them, you're not going to be able to save very much significant money. I am one of those Dearborn citizens, and I want the police and the fire to be there. I want them to be well paid. Of course, I'd like to have my teachers well paid, too, and I can't seem to do anything about that. And we'll talk about that maybe later in the hour. However, the big statement at the end here, and I'll read it just like the headline in dearborn.patch.com, Dearborn will be broke by 2015. Mayor O'Reilly agrees that cutting personnel costs are a major part of the answer to Dearborn's budget woes, but how those cuts are implemented remains to be seen. All city employees are being asked to contribute to a 10% cut in overall personnel costs. In other words, would you take a 10% pay cut? I think City of Detroit employees have done that several times now.
Probably more than they're going to.
These sacrifices have come in many forms, a larger share of health care costs, or cutting out three non-public safety positions, and ongoing union negotiations that are focusing on all three of those areas, wage, salary, or staffing cuts. So the bottom line is this, as the story states, without more revenue or bigger cost cuts, Dearborn's general fund will be in the red. No rainy day fund at all, by nearly $8 million in 3 years, even with the full 4.5 mil increase in taxes. And that's 3.5 mils for the city, 1 mil for the libraries.
And each mil is 3.3 million?
Yeah, something like that. Yes, exactly. But just remember, in terms of libraries, 1 mil a year is not enough to keep the libraries going with the branches we have even now. I think they need about 3 or 4 mils. If the voters had voted for, we want the libraries no matter what, sort of like they did with at least the staffing for police and fire, they would have to do a whole 3 mils or more just for the libraries.
Yeah, wow.
So that 1 mil won't keep the libraries afloat. It could maybe keep just the main library operating on Michigan Avenue in the center of town, but I'm not even sure of that. So there's a big question here, you know, of how we're going to move towards 2015.
I know a lot of people online are in the comments on like Dearborn Patch and all that. They're calling for less government. Say it's too big as it is. And
you know, it's the people that make these comments, I have to say, are not a representative sample.
Yeah, well,
they're a sample, but if they're not representative, they don't represent the majority opinion necessarily. We have no way of knowing.
Yeah.
They're, in fact, from day to day, because I read Patch.com every day as part of my prep for the show and the papers, of course, and Dearborn Press and Guide website has commentaries, too. Yeah. It's pretty much the same dozen or so people.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So 12 people don't speak for 100,000 people in Dearborn, but you can see strong opinions there nonetheless.
Very strong, and a lot of them people are on the outside looking in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of them are even have admitted, I follow a couple of people, and they don't give their names. I think that's interesting. They always have some alias or username and I won't mention any here, but I'm just saying those that don't give their names, we really can't believe you because you take no responsibility, right? I mean, you
can't be credible.
You're hiding who you really are, in fact. Shame on you, I think. Although, if you're going to go online a lot, and I don't recommend it, you probably should have an alias and keep hiding and changing the password and so on, but just to be safe for your own identity. But I'm saying it's interesting to read the comments, but several of them I know are factually wrong. Several of the comments, several of the issues within some of these comments are factually wrong. Listen to Mayor O'Reilly. If you can't trust the mayor, I guess you can't trust anybody in the world. And it's always good to be thinking critically about these things, but we have to trust, to a certain extent, the first opinion from our elected officials, I think. So we hope you read up. I hope you can go to that budget hearing. And in 2 weeks, there'll be, as Kevin said, is 2 weeks from Tuesday, actually, the 29th. They'll be voting on it at the city council meeting at 7:30 p.m. But
6:30 p.m.
6:30 it starts. Okay, very good. But you can't really make many comments then. It's probably over and done with. So go Monday or read the stories in the papers next week about what happened, or Patch.com on Tuesday about what happened there. And then call any or all of city council members, send them emails, send an email to the mayor about what you think. Because if you don't let them know in advance, that night is pretty much a done deal who's going to vote however. And they probably won't even allow much discussion. Why? Because they're allowing it this Monday at starting at 6 o'clock. Okay, so money, always important. Okay. Also looking at editorial opinion from that last Sunday Press and Guide from the 6th of May, Morris Goodman, editorial opinion, not really about an issue, kind of a nice thing. And of course, we want to say happy Mother's Day in advance to the women who have chosen to do a tough job and more. And that is, of course, this Sunday. So please remember your mother all the time and respect her and give her whatever support she needs. But this Sunday would be nice to do something. I saw sort of it was a comedy segment on Jimmy Kimmel Live last night. Yeah, I stay up late sometimes. And a separately produced thing. And they have a mother laying on a sofa like in a typical living room. And it's done like a public service announcement. Don't give her flowers. Don't give her candy on Mother's Day. And the punchline is, just leave her alone. So the kids come up with candy and flowers to supposedly their mother and the sofa. She pushes them away. And she pushes them away. And the next shot, she's locked them in a closet. Well, not locked in, just puts them in a closet and then has a satisfied look on her face. So that's interesting, too. Maybe she just wants some peace and quiet. Let her go out shopping on her own or just driving around and, getting the breeze in her. I mean, whatever she wants to do. But, maybe you can relieve the stress for the mom, your mom, a little bit. And maybe it's not the overload with activities and, come on, mom, we're going out to a restaurant and everybody's at the restaurant and it's high stress time, and
traffic.
And she gets sick from the chocolates and the flowers hurt her allergies or whatever. So you got to be careful. Maybe you don't want to not communicate, but, let her relax if possible too and have fun. Ask her maybe what she'd like to do and, something different.
Those things on Jimmy Kimmel can be so funny.
Backing up, though, Saturday, tomorrow, May 12th, two events in Dearborn. And that's why Morris Goodman is so conflicted. He says, I'm conflicted. Mutt Strut is going on Saturday only, tomorrow, May 12th, at Dearborn's Ford Field. And that is where the Friends for the Dearborn Animal Shelter have organized a lot of vendors. And if you sign up in advance, or maybe when you get there, for a small donation to the shelter, you can walk your dog along a set path and show it off.
Yeah, kind of like a little mini dog show.
Yeah. And that's kind of nice. But even if you didn't have a dog or some other pet of your own, you should go there and support the effort. And there's many vendors that are giving out free stuff. In fact, today on dearborn.patch.com, they have a list and a map of where the vendors who are giving out free stuff, like free doggy chews or what, I don't know what it is, but they've actually got a map of the location of where the free stuff vendors are in Ford Field. How cool is that?
Like, huh? They'd have it like a big auto show.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I always, you have to search around at the Detroit Auto Show to find where the free stuff is, but dearborn.patch.com, they got a map showing where the free stuff is. So a great thing, if it's good weather tomorrow, take the kids, take mother maybe, and even if you don't want to walk your dog for a small fee over there, it'd be cool just to take a look around and support the effort. The other big effort that goes every year about this time is called the Relay for Life. And it's of course, to fight cancer and raise money to fight cancer and also to help cancer survivors. You know, you're being treated for cancer, you've been diagnosed, you're being treated, and you'd like to win that battle. And a positive attitude is very important. So they have this walk-run around a track area, and it's going to be at our Ford Community and Performing Arts Center starting at 10 a.m. tomorrow on the 12th. And it goes all the way through the night because some people, like, you know, you donate per lap or per hour, per whatever, for a runner or a walker to raise money.
Yeah.
And sometimes they walk 24 hours with just little breaks, and they help raise money for the cause. So very good cause. And again, there's also vendors out there, different healthy products and healthy organizations. But maybe you just go over and donate something to the Relay for Life people.
Yeah, because everybody knows, especially these days, every single person knows somebody that has had cancer, has lost a family member, a friend, a loved one to it. So it seems to be on the up and up. And another thing, I went to the one on Belle Isle with Henry Ford Community College's Full Circle Dance Company. That was the breast cancer walk.
Yes.
And we did donations. Okay. And that was fun. That was really fun. In fact, when it got done, I think it was a 5-mile walk. I wanted it to be longer because I was having such a good time.
Yeah, well, yeah, a good time can be had because it's that feeling of solidarity and support. And if you say, well, I'm not sure, as I do, I'm not sure that war on cancer, the federal funding for cancer research, has really had much effect. And it's true, folks, because they were only researching, this is since Richard Nixon, way back in the 70s, war on cancer, war on drugs. Well, neither one of those, even after billions of dollars have been spent, have accomplished anything.
Yeah.
Seriously. One of the problems is that the cancer money mostly went to the big drug companies, and the big drug companies won't research a cure for cancer. They only want to find a drug that will temporarily keep you alive. In other words, alleviate some symptoms.
So you have to keep taking the pill so they keep getting more money.
Exactly. And they've come up with some cancer-fighting, although not cancer-curing drugs, that cost thousands of dollars a week.
And they're carcinogenic, too.
And some of them have those terrible side effects, whether it's causing cancer itself or other upsets. Read the small print, folks.
Yeah.
So
have you ever?
I'm just saying that's my own personal professional opinion from reading about the war on cancer for the last 30 years, is the money has gone to very traditional big organizations that don't really want to cure cancer at all. They want, and why not? Let's cure it. Why just, you know, alleviate the symptoms? Let's cure it. You know, let's cure the common cold. Well, that hasn't gone anywhere. Why? Nobody spent any money on that. But of course, again, viruses, flus are hard to fight. Cancer, we don't think, is a virus.
Well, have you ever seen the movie Brzezinski about the Texas cancer research doctor?
Tell me.
Oh, wow. If anybody watches this documentary, it will make them mad, especially if they know somebody that has died from cancer, family member, loved one, whatever, friend. There's this doctor in Texas by the name of Brzezinski, and he stumbled onto, it really wasn't a cure, but it was a natural. He took something in the blood and something in the urine, and every patient that he gave it to, basically, it would make their cancer go into remission and never come back. So he was taking all these really hard cancers to treat, brain cancers and stuff. Yeah. And the FDA spent 20 years, people, and $60 million of our tax money trying to get this guy locked up and put away, his license taken away.
Yeah, the thing about big government and especially the FDA is that they're really sort of bought out by, again, the richest pharmaceutical companies and the doctor organizations who are in the mainstream. It just because you're in the mainstream doesn't mean you know everything or that you know all the answers. Just one small example. A lot of people were in the mainstream in the 1920s trying to actually invent electronic transmission of pictures and sound. We call it television, okay? And RCA was the biggest electronics company in the country then, and they ran radio networks and so on, and they couldn't figure it out. A young high school teacher a student in high school, and he was in Idaho, drew it on the blackboard, and his teacher actually did a sketch in his notebook because he was so impressed about this way to transmit electronically, totally electronically, pictures and sound.
What we call television today.
Yes. And, of course, RCA tried to claim that they invented it first, but this guy had it years before. But because he was one person, didn't have a lot of money to get the idea started, he couldn't. He tried to get it patented, and RCA fought it. Finally, 40 years later, the guy, I think it was like 1 year before he died, the Supreme Court of the United States finally said, okay, we agree, you invented it.
Wow.
You should have been getting all the patent money all this time.
Oh, man.
And but RCA, with their big lawyers and big company, they wanted to keep the little guy out. I'm just saying there's many, many examples, just in that one, of how the great idea, the best idea, the new idea comes from somebody who's not in the mainstream, not in the majority.
Yeah, basically an
and
unknown.
We have to try to respect and discover everybody's ideas when we're fighting something like cancer or some other world problem, the environment or whatever, and we need to respect that. Also, in terms of health treatment, you should have freedom of choice there. And
absolutely.
I'm not speaking against Medicare or whatever, but, Medicare, for example, and prescription drug programs in general, they won't cover vitamins or minerals or other kinds of like herbal supplements. Every mainstream doctor, probably under his breath, recommends you take a multiple vitamin every day. They probably, because they know our diets don't give us what we want if we're eating a lot of fast and processed food.
Exactly.
There's really very little important nutritive value in the fast food.
Leached out, bleached away.
Yeah, and all those chemicals, preservatives, additives, they have a number of unpleasant or even unknown consequences. So, is a multiple vitamin recommended by your doctor covered under prescription health care? No. Why? Because it's not a prescription drug.
Because it's healthy.
Well, we don't want to go too crazy here, Kevin, but, and I have found, luckily for myself, a doctor who respects my own research. He can't recommend what I'm telling him I'm going to take, but he's amazed at some of the products that I take that actually have helped me with several health concerns, because I've done the reading and I've seen the research. It's just not in the mainstream. And on top of that, the drugs, the supplements that I'm taking, he really agrees, but he can't officially agree because he'll be censored by the mainstream doctor people or
the pharmaceutical reps.
Yeah. Or later, if I do get sick, my relatives could sue him for something not in the mainstream, even though it was my choice.
That's great that it's
so
working for you.
Well, he keeps me as a patient. Thank you, doctor. And he's given me great advice. In fact, he's sort of, he's a family practice doctor. But he's concerned about all aspects, and I've been on a diet that he suggested, and I've lost almost, I know, not much, 13 pounds now in the last 13 weeks.
Wonderful.
And feel better than ever. Should have done that before. I always ate healthy, but I always ate too much.
Yeah.
So too many calories, too.
Well, I used to think that I ate healthy, too, until I started digging into the scientific research and all that. Yeah. And then I realized, whoa, I'm far from eating healthy.
Yep. These are things that should be taught in school, folks. I mean, it should be taught in basic nutrition class, the whole range of things, not taught by doctors, or healthcare programs, because they'll only give you the mainstream. They won't give you the whole picture. They won't give you the actual science, because some of the science is not in the mainstream yet. Some of the scientifically verified health issues are not there. So we're not recommending anything here, folks. Don't
I'm not
going to see my doctor. No. We can't do that. But I'm just saying, always educate yourself, read, research everything as completely as possible, and then hopefully you can, you know, the government and your doctor will let you make some decisions for yourself that seem valid. We're going to take just a slight break here on the new WHFR Journal. This is the station making waves at our website, whfr.fm, and listen to a couple of opinions from Jim Hightower. I thought this was the first opinion is going to talk about egalitarian Mormonism and also where Mitt Romney stands on some of these issues, because, like, well, he's a practicing Mormon, and Jim Hightower, in fact, refers to it as Mitt's plutocratic narcissism, which I guess, according to him, is not mainstream Mormonism, even. So take a listen to this, and he's also going to talk about the stench of Bentonville spreading to Mexico. Have I got your interest yet? Okay, here's Jim Hightower.
And lo, Samuel the Lamanite decried the greedy habits of the inhabitants of Zarahemla and proclaimed them doomed. You are cursed because of your riches, declared the prophet. Though a cautionary tale from biblical times, Zarahemla would seem familiar to us today, with its exaltation of wealth, extreme class division, crass money corruption of politics, and government's disregard for the poor and needy. Only, the fate of Zarahemla is not a Bible story. It's from the Book of Mormon. With lifelong Mormon leader Mitt Romney running for president, the national media's focus on the religion has mostly dealt with fundamentalist Christian Republicans who insist that Mormonism is an unholy sect. But little attention has been paid to the remarkably progressive egalitarianism at the center of the church's doctrinal founding, an ethos 180 degrees opposite of Romney's unabashed celebration of avaricious wealth accumulators like, well, like him. Those who criticize Wall Street greed and government policies that favor the rich, Romney says, are simply guilty of envy and class war. However, Salt Lake City writer Troy Williams points out in a recent Salon article that Mormonism's founders, Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, preached and practiced a social order based on communalism. Not communism in the Marxist sense, but a form of communal living and shared resources. There shall be no private ownership of streams and timber, Young decreed. These belong to the people, all the people. The frontier prophet also said, we have plenty here, and under communalism, no person will suffer if there is an equal distribution of the necessaries of life. This is Jim Hightower saying, wouldn't it be fun to hear Mitt reconcile this moral imperative of Mormon egalitarianism with his present espousal of plutocratic narcissism?
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Apparently, a skunk doesn't smell its own stink, or at least, it's not offended by it. Likewise, Walmart honchos are presently talking about the nauseating stench of its still-evolving bribery scandal as though it's coming from somewhere else. We are deeply concerned by these allegations, declared a corporate spokesman, and are working aggressively to determine what happened. Well, gosh, just walk aggressively over to the executive suite and ask CEO Mike Duke, board member Lee Scott, and vice chairman Eduardo Castro Wright. While Walmart's massive bribery payments took place in Mexico, the corruption emanated from the very top of corporate headquarters in Bentonville, Arkansas. It stems directly from Walmart's ruling ethic of ruthless expansion and profit at all costs, pressuring managers to achieve, quote, very aggressive growth goals by doing whatever was necessary. A decade ago, when Mr. Castro Wright was head of Walmart's operations in Mexico, he decided that necessary included unbridled bribery. He began doling out some $24 million to Mexican officials, clearing Walmart's path for rapid domination of Mexico's retail market. As early as 2005, this was known and condoned by corporate chieftains in Bentonville, including then-CEO Scott and Duke, who oversaw all international divisions at the time. So, what happened? Far from stopping the corrupt payments, Scott killed an internal inquiry into the corruption by turning it over to, guess who? Castro Wright. Yes, the very same man pushing the illegality. The bribes continued. Castro Wright was promoted to vice chairman. Scott retired with a golden pension and a multimillion-dollar fortune, and Duke was elevated to CEO, now drawing $18 million a year in pay. This is Jim Hightower saying, Walmart's executives are stinkier than a whole den of skunks could ever be.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
So what do you think about that? Jim Hightower, and he is, of course, a populist commentator out of Austin, Texas, very well respected. Even Ralph Nader, who ran for president a couple times, said, I don't think I'm going to run again, but I'd recommend Jim Hightower for president. He's definitely a populist, you know. He's for the average guy, the average person, no doubt about that. But he's not going to run. He's doing what he's doing real well, I think. Okay. And don't necessarily believe him. As I said, we're here at the new WHFR Journal with alternative views to try to challenge you. You know, get your own ideas together. Do more research. Was that really true? I got to look that up myself. I hope you feel that way. I hope you do. Hope you have the time for that. Make time for it. Okay, another editorial opinion from way back last Sunday on the 6th. Tom Watkins, who has just been appointed to a Michigan International Economic Development Commission for the state of Michigan because he's traveled to China so many times. And he sort of, well, from all his editorials, he's got a lot of ideas about how we can get business going internationally, but based in Michigan, how we can benefit from that. So, okay, Tom, now's your chance to step up and make a difference. You've had your ideas out there. You've done the research. You've done the travel. And so I hope that works out for you. But his editorial was about, and you should try to read it, probably on, I hope the editorials are also on pressandguide.com. Time for bold reform. Let's look at merging Detroit and Wayne County. Let's make it all one big city. We did feature Jack Lessenberry's editorial comment from the Metro Times about 3-4 months ago, where he said the whole Tri-County area should be one city. And, of course, some people, oh, that's crazy. Oh, my goodness. Living out here in the rich suburbs, rich, Dearborn, well, some other suburbs might be richer than we are. We don't want to support Detroit. We don't want our money to support Detroit. In fact, we're all together in this, folks. The roads, the sewer systems, the water systems. I mean, Dearborn gets water from Detroit, right? The trash pickup, the quality of the environment. We're all together in this. And all the cities that are successful in the U.S. have become, yes, tri-county cities. In other words, they have expanded. They have grown to, like, Los Angeles and so on. And I know they got their problems, but they've got this huge area now that is all Los Angeles. And that means they have a tax base and they can that gives them needed money for the problems. And the problems are, in fact, tri-county-wide. They're area-wide. And they have to be treated in that way. They can't do a little spot check here or there and so on. Now, police and fire, you need those individual facilities every so often.
Every
10 miles or something. I mean, you've got to have those, and why not have those local cities as long as they have equal quality of police and fire services? I mean, you know, the same quality of equipment and pay and qualified employees. So there needs to be consistency in that. But also, I have to say, I know a few people, including Ned Apigian, who's on the Dearborn City Council now and one of our WHFR staff members. His talk show is coming up on the 29th, by the way, here from 1 to 2 o'clock, his next talk show. But he's got a master's degree in city planning. You can actually study how to make a city work. And that's been programs all around the country for 30, 40 years. Have we ever elected a mayor anywhere that actually had studied how to do it and
Probably
looked at
not.
The research? I don't know of one. No, they're all politicians. But, you know, and I'm not saying Ned should be a mayor or anybody else who's got that degree. There's all kinds of characteristics that go into making a good leader. And that's what I think a mayor has to be, as a leader, in addition to knowing a lot about the right action to take. But in general, and I've read books here too, folks, the best city planners over the last 3 decades have said you need a larger area to solve the larger problems. It's the only way it's going to happen. So merging Detroit with Wayne County, well, it's certainly step number one. I totally agree with Tom Watkins on that. But I also agree with Jack Lessenberry and all the other major people who have done the research and study the issue. Detroit needs the whole southeastern Michigan area as one city, okay, to solve the problems appropriately. Yes, how far west would it go? I don't know. Would it go to Garden City? West? Would it go down to Trenton? Maybe. Would it go up north through Oakland County? Yeah, even up to maybe, I don't know, Rochester or something, or Pontiac would have to be in the city too. Would that unify the school districts? Probably, yes, that would happen too. If you had one city, you'd probably have one school district, local control, hopefully, but still. And are any of the emergency financial managers looking at that? No, of course not. Why? They're just cutting the budget, cutting people out of work, and what's left? Maybe a golf course for the rich, like in Benton Harbor or something. Sorry to be so bold about this, but, you know, I don't see the emergency financial managers lobbying for something that's bigger and better, which is actually merging into a larger area that where the problems can be addressed in the most efficient manner by the larger area, and that the tax base is higher overall and therefore can support better services. Maybe, I said this last time, I don't know, but if the whole larger area owned the Detroit Water Department, maybe wouldn't have to pay so much for water.
Oh, yeah, check this out. They just had a budget, a public meeting on a water rate increase. One person showed up to the meeting.
In Detroit?
Yes. Guess who that one person was?
I can't guess.
A guy from Canada.
Do they get our water, too, in Windsor? No. No, okay.
No, but he was so concerned with the raising rates and how they're keeping
raising. Well, good for him.
Nobody from Detroit showed up. Well, a guy from Canada.
I guess they have bigger fish to fry, so to speak. But water, you got to have clean water. You got to get your sewage out of your house, too. Hopefully, every time you flush that toilet, it flushes, right? And the water and that toxic stuff has to go somewhere and be treated. Can't just be dumped back in Detroit River. And the Detroit River is not safe for swimming even now, though, you know. Why? Because we dump too much untreated stuff, sewage and other corporate things, industrial things into it. Maybe someday we'll have clean water there. So we need the plant to treat it, coming to us and then going back out. And obviously, why would the city have to make as much, the Detroit Water Department have to make as much profit if it was part of the whole larger area? I mean, we just try to break even, right? And I'm not sure that's really happening. So take a look at that. I mean, I'm always suggesting people look at the bigger ideas, the new ideas, because the people already there don't want to. Oh, that's too risky. We don't know what's going to happen. Who knows? Well, who knows? We know that it's going to be better because the larger city areas, the contiguous areas that have the same problems merging together, it's worked elsewhere in the U.S., and it has for 2 decades now. And there's major examples all over the country of cities that have done this, like Austin, Texas, where I visit frequently, and I've got friends down there. What they've done in ever increasing in size and employment and so on is they've actually had neighboring communities and township areas merge with them. In other words, like they've expanded by buying the land and the other cities to make it a bigger Austin. Austin now spreads out 3 times as big as it did 20 years ago.
And they're doing better now.
Well, of course. Yeah, because they have more tax base and they got, I wouldn't live in one of those suburbs 15 miles away. It's like, you know, Michigan in the 50s or something. That's not a model that is sustainable. But nonetheless, they've got water and sewage issues and ecology issues in general and a solid tax base because they expanded the city limits and they kept going. And that's definitely got to be an answer. But have I heard anybody suggesting this? Any emergency financial manager, the mayor of Detroit?
I've heard the opposite.
Yeah, like Gary Warren, I don't want Detroit's problems. I mean, he's head of the Wayne County Commission. Well, no, he doesn't want their problems because they'd be his problems, too. I mean, what if he gets elected to be mayor of Wayne County, the city, you know, or something? Then he's stuck with it. And he doesn't want to be out of a job. What if they come up with a different city? What if they do away with the commission and just have Detroit City Council or the new Detroit Area Council elected? He might not be in a job then. Yeah. So no one who's in a job right now wants to think of a big idea that's proven to be better because they don't know where it's going to go, and it's probably... It could hurt them personally.
And staying on the status quo is hurting the residents.
Well, right. Yeah, right. And I'm just saying, this is an idea that's not crazy, folks. It's been proven elsewhere, and Detroit is not making use of the idea. We're in this together, folks, this big tri-county metro area, and we need to be working together on the solutions. We really do. Imagine the buying power for even the health insurance pension plans, if we had the whole area together. You know, when you have more people in a group, they give you a lower rate for the insurance.
Definitely.
That's always been true, folks. That's why, in fact, a few years ago, Andy Dillon, who's now the state treasurer and keeping his mouth shut because he was a Democrat, and now he's a state treasurer appointed by the governor, but he had this plan to have all police, fire, and teacher pensions all through the state of Michigan. Well, that would reduce costs tremendously. Also, it means the state has to pay the premium, but the cities wouldn't have to anymore. Mayor O'Reilly, you know, he's out of his mind in joy if that would have passed, you know, because that's so much of the debt ever increasing. But if you go with the larger group, oh, you could save so much more. Oh, yeah. Now, of course, they weren't talking about pensions that are at the same level. They were talking about those 80-20 contributions. You know, the state would pay 80 and the people 20. But the coverage would be the same, guaranteed for all public workers, including teachers in the state of Michigan. The cost would be much lower. But who's for that now? Dillon is shut up. He's the state treasurer, but he hasn't been recommending anything. He's just doing the party line for the governor.
Yeah, and if anybody's ever bought health insurance on their own, they might know this. When I was getting my health insurance through my last job, which was a pretty good big-size company comparable to the auto industry, my monthly insurance, what they were paying was $400 a month for full coverage, really good insurance. And then after the plant closed down and they moved it overseas and my severance ran out and Cobra ran out, I had to go buy my own health insurance, jumped from being in the group plan at $400 a month, $700. So it jumped $300.
And you're a student currently, and you don't have a full-time job, and it's unbelievable if you wanted to. And you should have health insurance. Everybody should. That's why there should be universal single-payer health care, just like in Canada. But we can do even a better program. We can do a better program. No upfront costs. Sure, you pay a little higher taxes. Everybody does. But you can go to any doctor you want.
Yeah.
Okay. You can go to any doctor you want. You know, their doctors are reimbursed at consistent rates from the government. Okay. And if they give you a prescription, you just take it to the drugstore and it's
cheaper?
Free. No, it's free.
Oh, is it free? I didn't know that.
Yes, because it's all paid by their healthcare system. There's no hassle whatsoever. And oh my God, you know, it's a social necessity to all the advanced civilizations currently on this planet to take care of one another.
Aren't we the only
major industrialized country
yeah. with no health?
We don't have the best health care system, and we don't have the least expensive per person. If we put the money that all of us who can afford it are paying in health insurance into the tax system, okay, we have the best healthcare system in the world, and because you can cut the rates. The government actually can lower the rates. I'm sorry, Obamacare can't cut the rates because they still let the doctors and the drug companies set the profit level, which is higher. I mean, people should know, the same drug, if you buy it in Canada on a prescription from your doctor over there, you don't have to buy it, but the government reimburses them much less.
Yeah,
and the company will accept that less because they're certain to be paid, first of all. And some of our people are still going to Canada to get their drugs to save the money. You know,
I do know, like in Canada, if you have to go to the doctor and you have an appointment and you have to take a taxi cab, the hospital will actually pay you they'll reimburse you for whatever your taxi costs.
Cool. I'm sure even ambulances are of course, covered under their health care, you know, if you need an ambulance even. And we don't have to take their system. We can, you know, if we started with good people, some super committee that actually is super, we could come up with a system that had the best of the French system, the German system, and the Canadian system. Those are the three best in the world. Actually, the French system is the best in the world and at the lowest cost. Sure, people there pay a little bit more in taxes than we do because they get that consistent coverage, no hassle, no problems, no issues. You say, well, I had to wait for care.
No, you don't.
Sometimes you got to wait over here unless you're super rich and you can fly to some other country or go to the the Mayo Clinic or something, they might take you in for a little extra a bonus. All these people that are against that kind of healthcare system, I guess they just don't understand it. They just, I don't believe in the government, blah, blah, blah. Take a look at the world, folks, and at the best healthcare systems and at the lowest cost per person and controlling the costs, which we're not doing now. Okay, we're on our soapbox a little today, but let's go quickly, Kevin, on the next story. We just want to commend the local students who did a survey of the Rouge. Big story in the Times Herald this week on page 3A, almost made it to page 1, even a picture there. The Rouge River, how's it doing? How could you summarize this? What did they have any discovery about anything, or did they just clean up?
Oh, no, they were checking on these micro invertebrates that are bottom-dwelling river animals, and they were looking for them. They're not too small that you can't see them without a microscope, but they keep the water clean. They have a big impact on the water quality, so they're checking to see the condition of them.
And right, things like even microscopic organisms like algae and that can have a positive effect on the ecology. They can, you know, eat up pollutants or something and generate more oxygen in the water for the fish to breathe too. So good work and nice of the Times Herald. Sue Suchet, normally their theater critic, wrote the story. Give them, the whole half page. That kind of community, local volunteer effort to keep our environment clean. If we won't let our government do it, I guess we need to go out there and do it too. So get your pair of wading boots on.
Yeah, when I was a kid growing up, I always rode my bike on bike trails along the Rouge River. And from then to now, because of groups like these, Friends of the Rouge River and other like local students getting out there and helping with cleanup, there's been a big improvement.
Yeah.
Big improvement.
The environment will bounce back, but we've got to
nudge it along.
Nudge it along. We've got to push it over the edge. Get it bouncing. Anyway, a couple of big stories here that are controversial. Another shakeup at the Hyatt Hotel is in Dearborn Press and Guide from May 9th. That, of course, means that the Hyatt Corporation management people, they don't want to have that as a franchise hotel anymore. It hasn't been owned by the Hyatt people. They went through new ownership, receivership, and new ownership a few years ago, and now it is it's going to lose that owner, and the Hyatt name is going to go away too. Now, one story I read said from DearbornPatch.com that it's going to close in 3 months, and another story said, I think it was in the Dearborn Press and Guide, it says that it will probably continue operating somehow. It'll stay open, but we don't know who's going to buy it. Certainly this puts, for all of you out there that hate the idea of a convention center next to the Hyatt on their land that would help all of Dearborn, it can't happen until we find out who owns the place, who owns the land. The concept was delayed in 2009, I think it was, or 2006 when they went through that new owner problem, it's certainly up in the air. Big landmark, not much hotel business, I guess, and too bad. We don't know what's going to happen. If you've got a couple million in change in your pocket and you'd like to buy a hotel,
a big beautiful one right on Michigan Avenue. Is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With a spinny. Does the restaurant on the top still rotate?
Oh, yeah, but it's now closed because they're looking. In fact, this was announced about a month or two ago. They want someone else to operate it, like your own restaurant space or something, that they didn't want to operate it themselves.
Huh.
Wasn't making money. So although they were still renting it out at that point for parties and banquets and things, but I don't think they're even doing that through the Hyatt now anyway. The Hyatt just won't be there, so that's it's another blow for business in Dearborn.
Long-time landmark, too. They've been around since 76.
We definitely, since it's a big campaign year for president, did you hear about that one? Yeah, in November, there's going to be an election for the next president of the United States for 4 years. And, of course, on this show, we support the challengers and the smaller party candidates more. Why? Because you don't hear about them anywhere else, but maybe you should. I just wanted to announce that last week, the Libertarian Party, which is the third largest political party in the United States, yes, it is, it has nominated Gary Johnson, former governor, recent governor for 8 years of New Mexico, for president of the United States. So his name will definitely be on the Michigan ballot in November. We hope to get an interview with Governor Johnson right on the show.
No, that'd
a
be
whole
wonderful.
Hour, even if we've got to do it over the phone. We're going to get that scheduled whenever it seems good for him. I did actually meet him a month ago when he came to Michigan. I drove up to somewhere in Flint, some little hole-in-the-wall restaurant where the Libertarian Party of Michigan was having a little meeting because I wanted to meet him. And wow, is he a great guy.
And, makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, libertarians, now you say, well, is that right-wing or left-wing? It's both. It's what? Yeah, it's just like sort of Green Party. Like, who should really be against clean air, clean water, education, and health care for all?
And
who
clean
should,
food.
And clean food. Who should? No one should. So the Green Party is not left or right. Everybody should believe all the basic tenets of the Green Party. Whether or not you want to elect them to office, I don't know why you wouldn't. But same thing with libertarians. There's a lot of liberal ideas in libertarianism, obviously by name alone, but there's a lot of very conservative ideas like smaller government and cutting cost. But something Republicans wouldn't agree with totally is like eliminating unnecessary foreign wars.
Oh, yeah.
And getting us uninvolved. Like I told you a few months ago, I was fumed because for the first time ever in history, Barack Obama, he visited Australia, and he said, you know, we need to have a U.S. base here.
Really? And like we don't have enough of them, 700 all over the world?
Why? In Australia, they're not nearby to anybody. We're afraid that Vietnam's going to invade them or something. Why do we need another military base in Australia? Now, it's great for R&R. I love Sydney, Australia. They got some really great culture and entertainment. But still, give me a break. Why are we putting a military base? Why are we putting military bases anywhere in the world?
Yeah. And it's going back on the healthcare issue.
And
cut the defense spending or the amount of money we spend on the wars, now, they would be able to
pay for. As long as you brought
it
up, we got to finish now. It's the end of the time, and Highway 61, Best in the Blues, is going to be starting in just a moment here, folks. But on that point, libertarians do not want government health care at all. They believe in small government, so they're going to eliminate any big federal programs. But the interesting difference here is that they want to get rid of everything so there can be more of a balance. In other words, it is true that right now the Medicare system and the Social Security system to a certain extent, but especially the Medicare system, they've got them into a sort of a financial boondoggle in that they can't save money, they can't reduce costs, and all the regulations and the hassle of paperwork even to get Medicare and so on is really may be unnecessary. So it'd be worth a try to go with the libertarian solution, which is not going back to, you know, healthcare only for the richest, but their plan, if you can understand